as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you sing it to him tonight. Sing to him tonight. Tonight, I'm going to go ahead and take the prayer request tonight, and we'll ask Brother Terry if he wouldn't mind to come and pray over these. Brother Pat Madley has a request for his nephew, Bradley Calhoun. I think he said he's 19. He's very sick, needs prayer tonight. And Brother Daniel Barclay turns in a request. A renter next to my mom in Florida is stranded in Atlanta. His name is John. And also a Jamie Brannon in I think it's in jail and has an infection of some kind, needs prayer, mostly to come to the Lord. Also very confused, so let's remember him. Request here from Brother Rex Belt. I'd like to ask the church to pray for my brother, Jay Lynn Belt. Doctor said that cancer has moved all over his body and in his brain. And he is in hospice care. Most of all, pray for his salvation before it's too late. That's from Brother Rex, so let's remember that for sure tonight. Prayer request for Sharon Oley and family. Had a house fire, lost everything. So let's remember them tonight. And remember Brother Bernard Short. He is in a lot of pain. So let's remember all these tonight. If you'll stand with me, Brother Terry comes and take these needs to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Terry.
Bless you.
bow our heads and let's all join our faith together as we look to the Lord in behalf of these requests. You pray as I pray, and we'll believe and we'll see some results. Heavenly Father, as we approach Thee, I am so thankful we have another opportunity to come to the house of God. It's a privilege to come to the house of the Lord. We're so thankful. Lord, when I think of the scripture, it talks about that in the last days, you know, there be a famine, not for food necessarily, but from the hearing of the word of God. But God, we have been so blessed and so privileged to be able to hear the word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. And you've given us, Lord, the word. You've given us the books. You give us tapes, Lord. You give us a ministry. Lord, we have been given so much, and how we're thankful, Lord, that we can even go in there and get a handful of that original manna, as it were, out of that golden omer. And Lord, it was laid up for the priests, and every successive priest could go in there, and it never did spoil, but it was always fresh. And Lord, this manna doesn't spoil. It's always fresh. It's the fresh meat, the kill, the caring for the day. Lord, we're thankful for that fresh manna. I don't care if we've been in the message 25, 30 years. It's not stale. It's not old. It's not common. It's the life of Christ. We love you. We thank you. We appreciate it. Lord, these requests that I hold in my hand, the 19-year-old, you know the condition, the need, and I pray that you would undertake in that person's behalf. Lord, the family that had a house fire and lost their belongings and house and so forth. Lord, we can only imagine what that's like, you know, losing those things. God, somehow laid on those hearts of friends, family, whatever, they can be reimbursed in some way and help them during this time of loss. Lord, and maybe there's some people in the congregation today that's not even saved. Would there be one that's not even saved? Let this be the hour. We're not even promised that we can come back home. I pray, God, if there's people here tonight, they've never received the Holy Ghost, never had that word birth. They've never really been sealed into the kingdom. Lord, this is a soul-saving station. This is not a time just to, well, we have in church another protracted meeting, whatever. Lord, what if we're living even in the days of souls that are now in prison? When is that last seed going to come in? When is that door of mercy closed or closing? Lord, tremendous time. We want to be ready. Open our eyes, awaken us, anoint your servant, our brother, Lord, this evening to give us the word of God. Let it be spiritual food in due season. May our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our focus be illuminated to the soon return, Lord of our great King. God, may you grant these things. We love you and bless you and worship you and happy to be in your presence. Come among us. We invite your presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight. Well, they bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon our Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. And he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. I feel it here right now. And set him free. Thank you for coming, Lord. He could. Sing that second verse, Terry.
Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and they mocked his holy name. And all alone he suffered everything.
For our sins.
He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and save.
Let's sing that chorus together again.
He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy this world and save.
I'm thankful for that. The brothers would like to come tonight, lift the offering this evening. We have just a couple of announcements to make here. One is just to remind everybody, this is the week that everyone's going to be leaving. The young people will be leaving for camp, so no service on Wednesday night. Unless everybody remember to be praying for those kids down there, that the Lord will just do something in their lives while they're there. Also, that we have a new Cockman family CD available in the library. So that's available for everybody. Let's sing My Theophany tonight in G. And Sister Brenda Thomason, she's got a song for us tonight. If you want to come on up and have a seat and be getting ready to sing. One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'm taking another step into my theophany. One day I know that final step, it's going to set me free. My theophany, a little higher into the perfect word. Come up a little higher into agape love. Come up a little higher, soar through the heavenly. My theophany, children, should death knock on my door? Oh, death is but a doorway that leads to that heavenly shore. Over there is no heartache, no sorrow, grief, or pain, just perfect love.
Sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sails, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind, and I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the heights. Among the peaks, my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights, may bring me low, it'll never bring me down. again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind.
We're going to sing one more song here. Harry's going to help me sing a song. I've had my head all day today and practiced it for 2 minutes. I can't really sing at work. That wouldn't go over too well. But everybody should know this, so please help sing it. First heard about Jesus sitting on my mama's knee. All heart and all ears, my eyes filled with tears as she told how he died just for me. As the years have gone by, I still sit down and cry when the story is told to me still. 'Cause though it may be the truth, over my youth, I will never be over the kid. Never be over the kid. I'll never be over Calvary. It was their sin's power over me was taken away. Oh, happy day, overcome by the blood. Yesterday's Marvel too soon becomes today's Monday. But the world's greatest story, redemption glory, will never be common and plain. It's the Johnny come lately, been admired so greatly, a new day that brings a new thrill. But there's no current up there can match what happened up there. Taken away. Oh, happy day, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and forever I am. Overwhelmed, overjoyed, overfilled. I'll never be over the hill. Yesterday's marvel too soon becomes today's Monday. But the world's greatest story, redemption glory, will never be common and plain. It's the Johnny come lately, been admired so greatly, a new thing that brings a new thrill. But there's no current up there can match what happened up there. I will never be over the hill. I'll never be over the hill. I'll never be over Calvary. It was their sin's power over me was taken away. Oh, happy day. Forever I am, overwhelmed, overjoyed. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and preach to us tonight. Do you know what key that is? Okay. Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to tonight.
Is that your desire tonight? I don't want to just be a worshiper. No. A lot of folks in this age worship God. Question is whether or not he receives it. But I want to be an obedient worshiper. Amen. Are you happy to be in church tonight? Would you rather be here at Walmart? Here at Dollywood? Here at the hospital? Amen. Ain't no other place I'd rather be than heaven. House of God, this is the next best thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 8 tonight, verse 5. I'm sure that's already been announced to you, but remember the meetings next week. Saints will be coming up to be with us from all parts. And I thought it might be nice if we would have maybe a little gathering on Saturday over at the pavilion. I've been watching the weather. I know it's a little bit close maybe for your sisters to get ready, but I think we'll meet over about 12 o'clock, maybe, something like that. Church will provide the meats and the drinks and the bread. Your sisters bring two sides or a dessert and a side, or three desserts, three sides, just however y'all want to do it. Just bring plenty and make sure you got chocolate on something. Chocolate carrots, chocolate green beans, chocolate mashed potatoes. Look at Brother Jack shaking his head. That man can't even be saved if he don't believe in chocolate. Amen. So I thought we'd gather maybe over there with the saints and just have a good time of fellowship together, eating and fellowshipping. Bring your cameras, your iPhones, those of you that have YouTube accounts, Facebook, plaster it. We want to prove the devil is a liar. But mainly, we're gathering next weekend, not because of race, but because of the great race. We'll never prove to the world we're right, no how. But we're just going to gather and look for a great time in the Lord. Amen. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're just expecting the Lord to move for us, just move with us. And so come expecting. Also, the youth camp going on down in Louisiana, we want you to remember that as well. Daniel chapter 8, verse 5. I want to speak to you tonight on the little horn. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. For it came up four noble ones toward the four winds of heaven. Just to refresh your memory, of course, the ram was the Medo-Persian kingdom. The he-goat was Greece. The great horn was Alexander the Great. The great horn was broke off. Four horns grew up, which were the four kings, which divided the kingdom. Now watch then, out of there came four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south. And notice where it comes from. Toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, which of course was Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Let's pray together. How many has a need in your life before the Lord? You'd like to be remembered? All right. Hold your requests there in your heart. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we can stand in this day, Father, and say that we're saved by the grace of God. Not only that we're saved, but we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're sitting under a rapturing message. How grateful we are, Father. Lord, as we approach your word tonight, we ask for your help. I ask you, dear God, that you would help me that I can get out of the way. You know these things, Father, I'm not a prophecy teacher. It makes me feel little and nervous, Father, having to deal with these things, but you placed it upon my heart, so I must do it. I'm not a teacher, a scholar like Brother Tim or Brother Jason or some of these other brothers that are more scholarly, but when you place something on my heart, I feel I must obey you. So help me that I can be able to get out of the way. And Lord, help me that I can make sense of it to the people, that we can see where we are. You saw the request of the people by the uplifting of their hands. You see this prayer cloth that I have my hand on tonight, Lord, that I'm going to stick in my shirt here just for a few moments. I pray that you'd move for this need, dear God. Speak to us by your word, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you tonight. How many loves the Word?
Amen.
I hope that these few services that we've been dealing with this on the book of Daniel, that it'll help you to where that you'll be able to understand a little better. Brother Louis told me the other night back there in the office for church, he said, from now on, I'm going to start reading the book of Daniel a little different. He said, instead of going this way, I think I'm actually going to read it. So hopefully it'll help us to be able to read it. Let's look, if we can, in verse 11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Now we know that prophecy, it can be where that it has a compound or a double meaning. It can also have a double fulfilling, to where that part of it will be fulfilled. A certain allocation of a prophecy can be fulfilled in a certain time, and then God will hold the greater fulfillment of that over in another time, which here in the book of Daniel is exactly what took place with this scripture. Now, I want to share with you a little bit of history tonight, so I believe it'll help you to be able to understand it as well. That if you'll notice these four horns, whenever they are broken off, then another horn rises up from amongst them. Now, prophetically, in the timeline of God, it could be that it would be thousands of years later, and it would be exactly prophetic. But yet also there was a closer time frame by which the first part or the initial part of this prophecy was going to come to pass. And it was in a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. And he was a man that raised up out of the secluded dynasty that was going to come. He was the small horn. After these other horns are going to be, their kingdom is going to be terminated, he will raise up and he will come into a great kingship. But he is only a forerunner of the end time or the last day Antichrist, which will be the son of man or the son of perdition. Or not the son of man, but the son of perdition. Now in that, this man was a great man as far as the world would call him. He was a man that it's amazing when you run a parallel on his character. And you see the type of a man that he was. The way that he went about getting this kingdom. In the way that he treated the people. And the way that he destroyed the people. It was an exact forerunner of what the Antichrist will be in the last day. Now, I'll put some of this down so you'll be able to read it with me. Notice this in verse 23 of chapter 8, Daniel says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up." Now remember, part of this could be fulfilled in the day of Antiochus Epiphanes, and it could also be fulfilled in the days of the Antichrist himself, which will be Satan incarnate upon the earth. But when you look and see all that God does, you remember the scripture that God said, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now that was fulfilled in Jacob or the children of Israel, but it was also fulfilled in a greater fulfillment in the Lord Jesus. So that prophecy had a compound or a double fulfillment. Now in this, when Daniel looks at this and he sees the one horn breaks off, which is Alexander the Great, he sees four horns come up, which is the four kings, the four generals that's going to take his place. And then he sees at the end of their fulfillment or the end of the days of their dynasty, there will come up a small horn. Now initially, he will start out as a real small horn, but he will grow exceeding great and power. Now even in the way that he comes up, it's a forerunning or a foreshadowing of how the Antichrist will come up down through the ages. He will come in succession and he will come in small. He will come in with flatteries and he'll come in very, very small, but he will lead to the fulfilling. Out of the four will come the one. Out of the four will come the one. Now watch this. Satan comes up with the worms or the bugs that's going to destroy the kingdom or the church. Out of there will come the little horn. Now, let me read this and you can read it with me in history. The king here referred to is known as Antiochus Epiphanes after murdering his brother. Now watch this, the very foundation of how this man comes into power. After murdering his brother who had inherited the throne and the Seleucid dynasty, he come to power in 175 B.C. In 170 B.C., Ptolemy the VI of Egypt sought to recover territory then ruled over by Antiochus. So Antiochus invaded Egypt and defeated Ptolemy the VI and proclaimed himself king in Egypt. This was his growth in the power to the south. Now notice how that Daniel, when Gabriel goes to explain this, that Daniel says that he will begin from the south. Now here it comes, so his kingdom starts out by defeating or murdering his brother. Now his brother was the rightful heir, so he murders his brother. Now look, this is in the man to start out the very foundation of his kingdom with murder. Now then whenever he comes over and he takes over Ptolemy, which is of course one of the four generals that come out of Alexander. And Antiochus the IV was the eighth king of the Seleucid dynasty, which was in itself one of the four powers into which the Greek Empire was divided after the death of Alexander. Now notice where it comes, the little horn that starts out of the four that's going to be broken off. A campaign of ruthless conquest in the Near East. He invaded Egypt. In Jerusalem, he tried to impose religious and cultural uniformity. Now watch what he's going to do.
He wants to bring religious and cultural uniformity by suppressing Jewish worship. Now, he wants to bring the people to where that they all conform to this one thing, and he's going to be in charge of it all. But he knows in order to do it, he must stop the Jewish worship because they're different than everybody else. Already in 175 B.C., at the beginning of his reign, he had expelled the godly priest Onas III. He had replaced him with a nice Hellenizing younger brother, Jason. He put an end to the daily sacrifices at the temple. Now remember, the prophecy was in Daniel that he would stop the daily sacrifice. But this is only a foreshadow of what the Antichrist will do at the end time. For we know that under the reign of the Antichrist, he will actually give Jerusalem back to the Jews. Remember, they've not had full and complete control of Jerusalem since 586 B.C., for thousands of years now, there have been Gentiles in there even to this day. Even though they have a government, have all that, they do not have complete control of Jerusalem. But the Antichrist will come in by flattery and he will tell them, look, I'll give you this all back. And I will allow you to build a temple. And the Jews will fall for it completely. Except for the 144,000. Now watch. So what he does, he puts an end to the daily sacrifice at the temple, forbade the circumcision of Jewish infants, and made it a crime to possess the seal book. The Jewish scriptures. Now watch what he's doing now. He puts an end to the daily sacrifice, which to a real Jew, this is part of who they are. So you're going to stop them from going to church. You're going to stop them from the daily. Now, they didn't believe in going once a month or once every 3 or 4 months or Christmas and Easter. But they believed you had to go to church daily then, right? So they believed that walking with God was a daily something that you done all the time. So here he wants to put a stop to the daily sacrifice, which he did. He also forbade the circumcision of the Jewish infant. Now remember, circumcision was a sign in the male's flesh that they were in the covenant of God. So it was the seal. So now he's trying to move into where people are not able to receive the seal of God. So he stops them from worship, he stops them from church, and he's trying to stop them from receiving the seal of God in their flesh, right? And then, know what he done? He made it a crime to possess a copy of the Jewish scripture. So you're going to take church away from them, you're going to take the seal of God away from their flesh, and you're going to take the scripture. Now, it might not happen in the first 5 years, or even 10 years. But eventually, if you take the word away from the people, no matter how solid they are, how good they are, they will get away from the way of God. It would be amazing if Happy Valley, maybe not so much in our generation, but if you did away with the seal book and the church age book and the message of there, let's just say we decide to go back to the Bible only. And even though that sounds very, very good, that's what we had before we come to the message. That's, look what we had then. Not saying anything against the Bible. It wasn't that we needed a new Bible. We needed a revelation and understanding, which can only come by a prophet bringing it to us. So what if we say, well, it won't really matter if we do away with the message. We won't preach the message anymore. We'll just become more politically correct in the age that we live. And just say, well, John said, Peter said, Paul said, Zechariah said. The religious world won't get mad at you for saying that sort of thing, friend. But boy, you go to saying a prophet of God said, my, that's a different story now. But now watch. So they want to get away with the scriptures. They want to get away little by little. Within a few years' time, nobody will hardly notice it. They're still doing okay. But then as a few years go by, maybe not with some of you, but with your children and then their children, what would this church become in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years? If we make up our mind, we're no longer going to mention Brother Branham behind the pulpit. And we're no longer going to read his quotes because people don't like it no more. It makes them mad. Then what would we become? What would it turn into? So now watch Antiochus. He's a very shrewd type of a god. Now watch this. All true worship was forbidden, and idol worship introduced, especially that of Jupiter Olympus. The whole city and land was devastated, and some 100,000 pious Jews were massacred. Now watch what he's doing. He's coming in and he's going to do away with this real true worship. Now keep in mind, he is the forerunner of the son of perdition or the Antichrist in the last days. What's his focus going to be? It's not going to be so much Islam. It's not going to be Shintoism. It's not going to be Taoism. It's not going to be none of that. He's going to focus on the Jews because he will want to wind up in the temple of God as God himself. Now watch what he goes on to do. All this came to a head in December 168 BC when Antiochus seized Jerusalem by treachery. He had been turned back from Alexandria by the Roman commander Pompeius Lius and now took his frustration in a bitter repressive campaign against the Jews. Why have they always been hated? Why have they always been despised? Because God loved them. Amen. That's right. Same ways and reason you are. He sent his general Apollonius into the city with 20,000 troops and there erected an idol of Zeus in the temple area. He desecrated the altar by offering swine upon it. Now you imagine here the Jewish altar, the altar that was built and dedicated and consecrated to the house of God, and he sends in an army of 20,000 men and they're killing pigs on top of this altar. Ain't no way a real Jew's going to handle that. Now watch what he does. By offering swine upon it, this was the greatest affront to faithful Judaism that could possibly be imagined. And the idol became known to the Jews as the abomination of desolation. And later served as a type of the future abomination to be caused by the Antichrist in the last days. Now watch the actions of this man. He is the little horn that raises up naturally from among the four, but he's only a forerunner of the spiritual horn that will come in the last days. Oh my. I'm glad I'm going to be gone. Exactly right. From this conquest, Antiochus returned to Egypt, but was forced by Rome to evacuate Egypt. On his return, he determined to make the land of Israel a buffer state between himself and Egypt. He attacked and burned Jerusalem, killing multitudes. The Jews were forbidden to follow the Mosaic law in observing the Sabbath, their annual feast, traditional sacrifices, and circumcision of children. Altars to idols were set up in Jerusalem on December the 16th, 167 BC. The Jews were ordered to offer unclean sacrifices and to eat swine's flesh or be penalized by death. Now notice what he's doing. By power, he will force them to bow to the image. Though his friends call him Epiphanes, the illustrious one, the Jews called him the madman. Oh my. Now, when you see this man by his character, by his makeup, as Ephesus was chosen as a city which paralleled an age, as Smyrna was chosen by God as a city that was characteristics of that city which would identify an age, as the city of Laodicea was chosen to represent the last days. So this man, and in the way that he culminated in killing the Jews and all that he done, you imagine now that Daniel in this prophecy able to see, look in verse 23 again, in the latter time of their kingdom when the transgressors are come to a full, the king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences. Now watch. Antiochus made himself master of Egypt and Jerusalem successfully by craft. Now watch. This is from the book of the Maccabees. 1 Maccabees 1:30. The king sent his chief collector of tribute who came unto Jerusalem with a great multitude. Now watch what he does. And spake peaceable words unto them. But all was deceit. Now watch his administration. So he sends his money man in. And goes to speak in peaceable word. Let's make a covenant together. Let's make a pact together. We'll work it all out. We'll be able to pay the bills and we'll be able to do that. You all need it, don't you? For when they had given him credence, he fell suddenly upon the city and smote it very sore and destroyed much people of Israel. So he comes in by what? Money. 2 Maccabees 5:24. Antiochus sent also that detestable ringleader, Apollonius, with an army of 22,000, commanding him to slay all of those in their best age, and to sell the women and the younger sword who are coming to Jerusalem, and pretending peace. So here he comes, pretends peace. Oh, we don't want to fight. We don't want a war. We want to love one another. My, we're all of God's creatures, all of us. Catholics, Protestants, Jews. My, there's no difference among us. Well, there is with us. Brothers, humanity, yes, I can go there. But brothers, by born again, no. Praise the Lord. Now you realize this is even getting uncommon in the message, since we've got message preachers now preaching that you don't have to believe the message, it's going through the rapture. You can go to a denomination. How in the world can they produce a word birth? How in the world can they produce a word birth? Rapturing faith. Come on, children. Mama. Now watch. So he sends this guy and pretending peace, did forbear unto the holy day of the Sabbath, when taking the Jews keeping holy day, he commanded his men to arm themselves, so he slew all of them that were gone down celebrating the Sabbath. So he waits till what? Waits till the Sabbath day. And then they put on their arms and they hide themselves. And when they're going to church, they kill them. Oh my. Daniel says this little horn would consider himself superior, great. Daniel chapter 8 verse 25. This was certainly true of Antiochus. His name comes from the inscription that he had minted on coins of the time that bore his image, Theos Pephanes, God made manifest. Now remember, this is the forerunner of the little horn that'll shoot up in the last days. What will it be? The claim? He will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And he will be worshipped like God. And friends, many of the Protestants will go right along and worship him too. That's right. During the reign of this man, pious Jews experienced a time of unparalleled suffering. Now watch it in Daniel chapter 8 verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking to another saint, and said, that certain saint would speak. How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? To give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. Now here he's curious about this time element. How long is this going to be? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now remember, God allows these powers to reign. This is what Jesus called in Luke 21, also what Paul called in the book of Romans, the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles actually started in 586 BC, whenever Jerusalem was conquered. It will run up until the coming, the second advent of the Lord Jesus. It's going on right now. Even in that, there is a double parallel running down through there, because after the cross, it is the times of the Gentiles, God dealing with the bride, but also that the Gentile world powers are going to rule the world. Right. God's got it all in control, children. Satan ain't just running out here doing whatever he wants to do and just putting up whatever he wants to do. Oh, no. There's still a power above the devil. Now, watch this. So 2,300 days will be the length of time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away. Now watch this. These 2,300 days cover about the period of time during which Antiochus Epiphanes did his wicked deeds. Judas Maccabeus cleansed the sanctuary from the abomination about December the 25th, 165 BC. Antiochus died a miserable death 2 years later. Going back 2,300 days from the time Judas the Maccabean cleansed the defiled temple brings us to 171 BC, and we find the record of Antiochus' interference with the Jews. So here God knew exactly how long he would reign. God knows exactly how long the Antichrist will reign in the last days. God knows exactly when the last one will come in and the bride can go home. God knows exactly how many more days we've got on this earth. He knows exactly the day of the rapture, the moment of the rapture, the second of the rapture. Hallelujah. Oh boy, Brother Donnie, the devil can do this and do that. Remember, he's a little horn. He's a little horn. But we're serving a big God. Who's got a big mountain kingdom. Who's got a lot of big grace and love and mercy. And he's a little horn. Now watch, in chapter 8, verse 24, he says, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Now watch this. Watch the parallel, Antiochus Epiphanes, and also the Antichrist of the last days. He shall have great power, but his power will not be his own. Now Antiochus, by deceit, was able to betray many ones and buy different ones that would come and be a part of him and render their allegiance unto him. So his power naturally was not his own. Even so, in the last days, the son of perdition initially will set upon the throne. He will come into his kingdom. He will come into his holy place. And it will be the head demon that will be inside of him until the rapture. And once the rapture goes up and Satan is allowed to step into him, and he becomes the devil incarnate. So his power will not be his own. You do understand that demons have personalities? I believe with all of my heart, friends, this is what we're dealing with a lot of the folks who's leaving the message. This is why they're changing. They're so different. They're not the same they were 3 months ago, 5 years ago, a year ago. They are becoming demons. Demons are moving inside their bodies and they're taking on the personalities of these demons. This is why they change. This is why they become aggressive. This is why they want to hate. They want to destroy. They want to annihilate. They're taking on the personality of a demon. Come on. And it gives them super intelligence. It can give them ideas they would have never thought of before. Ideas of destruction. Ideas to do this and do that. Is it godly? Is it of the word? Of course it isn't. Where do you think God was the one who gave science and man the ability to invent gunpowder? Do you think it was God that gave science the ability to do much of the stuff that they've done out of the earth? Where do you figure they got that ability? From demons. It was demons who inspired them. To be able to put this with that, to blow up people and annihilate people. A loving God would not do such a thing. So demons impart their wisdom. They impart their supernatural strength. Did they not in the Bible? You've seen it right here before yourself. When we've had to cast out devils and they'd be supernaturally stronger. There's no way they could do that on their own human ability. Where did they get that? That supernatural impartation of the indwelling of demon spirits. Oh, but let me say this to you. If a demon inside of a person's body can do that, what about the Holy Ghost inside of yours? If a demon inside of a person's body can make them strong and give them a super intelligence, cannot the Holy Ghost, cannot the deity of God inside of us give us an intelligence beyond our own, a power beyond our own, an ability beyond our own? Yes, sir. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy, and notice how he'll destroy, wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, now look at this, the word policy here means properly intelligence, understanding, wisdom. Then in a bad sense, it's craft and cunning. So he would owe his success, a great measure of his success would be through craftiness and subtlety. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So here we see the beast coming back with subtility. He will cause craft to prosper in his hand. Now watch what he's going to do. He will be subtle. He will be shrewd. He'll be a man of great words. He will cause craft to prosper. Oh my. And then he shall magnify himself in his heart. So he'll be lifted up with pride and esteem. Boy, look what I have done. And by peace shall destroy many. Look at this word, prosperity. The Hebrew word, shalavah, means properly tranquility, security, ease, carelessness. In the midst of security, that is while they're at ease and regard themselves in a state of safety, he will come suddenly and unexpectedly upon them and destroy them. As Antiochus sent. As Antiochus sent one general and another and another. And what? By ease talked him into this. Hey, we're not here to harm you. We love you all. We're here to do for you. We're here to help you. Watch out when the government goes to telling you that. Let us take care of everything for you all. Y'all can't figure this out on your own. Let us do it for you. No thanks. No thanks. But the truth of it is, friend, the mass of the populace of the earth in this day will say, yes, yes, this is what we need. So they'll enter into this state of ease and rest and false sense of security. And then the general will come. Lord God. He will endeavor to produce an impression of peace, security. I'm the man you've waited for. Now, do I look like I would harm anyone? I'm the shepherd. Come and have mass with me. My. Watch this in the Laodicean church age. How fitting were the characteristics of this last age, talking about Laodicea, to represent the age that we now live. For example, they worship one god, Zeus, who was the chief and father of the gods. This forecasts the 20th century one god, father of us all, religious premise that sets forth the brotherhood of man. Look around, children! Now, if this was so in 1965 when the church age book was completed, being written, what about now? Don't you understand? It's already been foretold. This is going to be the thing that's going to grip the world. We're all one. We're all right. We're all going to heaven. We're all this. Of course, except for a little group. Yeah. This forecast, the 20th century, one God, father of us all, religious premise has set forth the brotherhood of man. Did you read not long ago where Billy Graham said Christianity wasn't the only way to heaven? The great preacher of Sodom? The great man that has led millions, so-called, of people to Christ? And say Christianity, Christ, is not the only way to heaven. What is the other way is there? Why are they saying that? It's the end time anointing. This is why, as it goes on, we are going to be more strange and more peculiar. Well, praise the Lord. My, my. It is now bringing together the Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Hindus, etc. With the intent that, the intent that a mutual form of worship will increase our love. Understanding and care for each other. So a Hindu, a Shinto, and a Hutu, and a Moto, and all the rest of them, and a Christian, and a Protestant, and a Catholic, and everybody else, we're all brothers, we're all going to the same heaven, we're all right anyway. So we all just come together. Why we can't all just come together? God says, separate yourself. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. But you see, people don't like that kind of a message. And that's why that we're going to be isolated, looked at, criticized. Come on, children. Why? Because we're not preaching a mixing type of message like this. We're preaching a message, come out of her before she goes into him. Oh, my. Notice this, with the intent that a mutual form of worship will increase our love, understanding, and care for each other. Yes, we're all just one now. Praise the Lord. This very attitude was seen in the United Nations organizations when the world leaders refused to recognize any one individual concept of spiritual worship, but recommended putting aside all those separate concepts with the hopes that all religions become leveled into one. For all desire the same goals, all have the same purposes, and all are basically right. So who are we to say that if you don't believe a prophet of Malachi 4, you can't go on a rapture? Who are we to say that we have more truth than these other denominations out here? Who are we to say that we have more of an insight on this and that and the other just because we follow a prophet? And I'll answer your question with a question. Who was Noah to say his boat was the only one that would float? Who was Noah to say he was the only man that had the message? Who was Moses to say, except you follow me, you die right here in Egypt? Who was Joshua the only one to say, if you're going to get your inheritance, you got to come over here? Who was Ezekiel? Who was Jeremiah? Who was Hezekiah? Oh, on and on and on. Who was Paul to say, if any man thinks he's spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I say are the words of God? Can't you see what we're against? And as we go on, it's going to get worse. Watch this on page 355 of the Church Age Book. Oh, little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. As it does, those tares will be bound together. As a threefold cord is not easily broken, they will have a tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual satanical power. And they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. Y'all still believe? What if it gets hot and heavy out here, around here after a while? What if they seek to destroy us? We've done had a little touch of it. On down through our years we have. Other folks have had a little touches of it in different parts of the world. Who knows what it'll get to? Brother Donnie, what, you reckon it'll get really tough? Well, about the time he figures he'll get her, the prophet said he'll take her up. So he said they'll never shut her up. He'll take her up. Where's it all fit? I don't know exactly. How far would he let them go? I don't know exactly. But I know one thing. They will desire to hate her. They will hate her, and they would kill her if they could. But they can't. Glory. They will seek. It didn't say they would, but they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer. Now remember, we ain't going through no tribulation period. How many of you suffered being a Christian? Suffered being a message believer? Suffered reproach being identified coming to this church? Some of you suffered because I'm your pastor. You be honest and say amen, it's okay. She will suffer, but she will endure. She will suffer, but she will not bow. She will suffer, but she will not compromise. It's not in her. We're not made out of the stuff that bluffs. We're made out of the stuff that stands. Amen. Oh my, she will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth. For he who loved his own loveth him even to the end. Oh, praise God. Now notice, Daniel says in Daniel 8:25, through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, listen how you'll do it, by peace. Can you imagine the blind Pentecostals accepting this embrace of the Father, the Holy Father? How? By lashing them, you bunch of tongue talkers? By what? Peace. We're brothers. We all belong to the one God, Zeus. Praise the Lord. Oh my. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but shall be broken without hand.
Listen how Antiochus Epiphanes died. This is from the second Maccabees. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, smote him with an incurable, invisible plague. A pain in the bowels that was remediless came upon him, and sore treatments of the inner parts. He had ulcers. He had all kinds of things going on the inside. Listen to this also from the book of Maccabees. So that the worms rose up out of the body of this wicked man. And while he lived in sorrow and pain, his flesh fell away. And the filthiness of his smell was noisome to all his army. 2 Maccabees 9:9. So God broke this little horn. Not with man's hands. It was broke without the hand of a man. God supernaturally broke it. Oh my. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Daniel 8:26. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Can you imagine this visitation of Gabriel had such an impact on this prophet's body that he actually faints and passes out. And when he passes out, it takes him a while to come back. And whenever he comes back too, he's left sick in his body for many days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision. But none understood it. Now let's look at 7 things, if you would, that I put down to parallel Antiochus Epiphanes with the coming of the Antichrist in the last days. First one, he will achieve great power by subduing others. This is Daniel 8:24. He will rise to power by promising false security. Verse 25. He will be intelligent and persuasive. Verse 23. He will be controlled by another. Verse 24. And we know who that other is. Diablos. Satan. He will be an adversary of Israel and subjugate or bring Israel to his authority. He will rise up in opposition to the Prince of Princes, the Lord Jesus Christ. His rule will be terminated by divine judgment. As Antiochus Epiphanes was not a plague of this, or well, he caught this, or distemper, he caught that. It was divine judgment that brought him to his end. So shall the son of perdition. Now watch this. Let's run the parallel now. Can I have a few more minutes of your time? Let's run the parallel of this. Now, as Paul prophesied about it in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now remember the church in Thessalonica. It's a strange parallel, but what had happened was someone had actually written a letter to the church at Thessalonica, and they had forged Paul's name. Now they have written this letter as if though it come from Paul. And it was about the coming of the Lord and the events of his epiphany or his parousia. So it had confused the Thessalonica church. So Paul had to come back now and deal with it. Now, can you imagine how bold these hypocrites and liars were in that day? I guess that was the YouTube of that day, huh? That was forums and all that stuff of that day. Now watch, Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means. Now look at one of the means that they tried to use. They had tried to fabricate a letter and put Paul's name on it. Now he said, don't let nobody deceive you by any means. Even though it looked like it was something from me, it did not bear continuity with the rest of everything I had already said. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except, notice now, there come a falling away first. Now Paul is pointing them to many days ahead.
Now, had there not been people that had left the message in that day, there had been. But this is not what Paul was dealing with in his day. He was prophesying of a time that would come when there would be a great apostasy that would leave the original face of the Word. Now watch, he said, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Rather, as the Greek, the falling away, particular one, or apostasy, namely the one which I told you. Now watch, the word means a departing from or a defection. Oh my. So this is what he wrote about in 1 Timothy 4:1. Some shall depart from the faith. From the faith. So the reference here is to some great religious apostasy that was to occur. So it was not going on. This great apostasy was not happening in the days of Paul. But he said it will come. And it will be linked to the coming of the son of perdition, the man of sin. So after this apostasy, you will see the revealing of the son of perdition.
Oh my goodness, y'all hearing me?
So this word means a departing from or a defection. Some would depart from the faith. Now it's a great religious apostasy that was to occur, which would involve many in the same departure from the faith. Now notice it's not a gradual, well, this man backslid and then a month later his wife, and, you know, but it's many that are going to be leaving about the same time. Now this is one of the signs of the end time. We talk about the moon, we talk about the sun, we talk about the stars, but do you understand? This one is linked directly to the revealing of the son of perdition. Whenever we see an apostasy and we see many leaving at the same time, whenever we see that, that will be a sign to us. It's almost time for the man of sin to come on the earth. Lord Jesus. Friends, there's been signs in the heavens for thousands of years, but there has not been a great falling away of the faith which was once delivered to the saints. How can you fall away from the faith that was once delivered to the saints in the days of Luther? How could there be an apostasy in the days of Wesley when they was not believing what Paul believed? Don't you understand? The last move of apostasy must be around this message. Why? Because the faith has been restored back to the original teaching of the Bible. We ought to be shouting tonight, realizing that we're at the end time. To realize the apostasy has come right here. It is one of the signs of the last days. Then, my friends, it is not long. The son of perdition will be revealed. Lord Jesus, which would involve many in the same departure from the faith. And this is the sad part. And in the same destruction. This is a revolt, a departure, an abandoning of a position once held. So you can't take a Catholic today then. That's never been in the message, never been filled with the Holy Ghost, a baptism, or never been baptized in Jesus' name, and say that he has defected from the faith. Right? You cannot take a Baptist today that don't know nothing about the new birth, he just accepted Christ as his Savior. He don't know nothing about election or serpent seed or God sent or prophet or none of that, and he's just been a Baptist all of his life, and God will make an answer for being a Baptist. To be honest with you, I'd rather be a Baptist than answer for some of these defectors. Oh yeah, I'd make sure to stand before God as a Baptist, and I would somebody sit in this church and heard the baptism of the Holy Ghost preached, seen signs and wonders and miracles, and then walk out and blast God's prophet, you cross the line, you'll never be saved. No hope for you. Come on children, don't get quiet on me. Don't you understand the apostasy cannot come from the denominations? The apostasy cannot come from the Catholic Church. The apostasy must, the last move of apostasy must come from around this word. It must come after the full word has been restored. What is it? A revolt. That's why they're not going to just walk away. They're going to revolt. They're going to hate. They're going to destroy. The capstone of this rebellion
will be the coming down of Satan. It's amazing to me, we have a church in the earth today that prior to St. Augustine of Hippo had already killed 50 million. I quoted it to you last Sunday. They had already killed 50 million. Then after St. Augustine of Hippo's edict or whatever he called it, they killed 68 more million. That's just what's on record. Can anybody please stand and tell me where Brother Branham ever taught us to kill anyone? Can anyone stand and tell me where any message preacher has ever taught us to take a gun or a knife or a rock and kill somebody and beat their brains out? I want you to think of all the energy, all the time, all the efforts that's put forth of these people to compare this. Well, Brother Bam said 500 here, and then he said 750. That proves he's a false prophet. That proves you're an idiot, is what it proves. An imbecile. You ain't got the sense. God give a jackrabbit. At least a jackrabbit knows how to get out of the weather when a storm's coming on. But you're heading right toward the middle of it. Every now and then I feel that anointing of John the Baptist get on me. Come. Can you imagine that we've got systems in the world today that have killed millions of people? Why don't these folks spend all their time on YouTube and website blasting that? Have I ever led anybody to hell? Did Brother Branham ever lead anybody to hell? What about Jason Watkins, Tim Pruitt, all the rest of these message preachers? Don't you see what it is? It's the anointing of apostasy. And it's going to lead them right into the son of perdition. Watch this. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except the coming of falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed. Man of sin, which is a man of eminent wickedness, one distinguished for depravity. Also, watch this, it's the emphatic, the way the Greek is said here, as in the reference to the falling away. So this man of sin, this son of perdition, is tied to the falling away. So as the restoration of the word brings the headstone back to the body, the falling away from that last move will place the headstone on the church body in the last days as the son of perdition. The falling away will usher in what? Oh, Lord have mercy. We wonder, Lord, why didn't this happen 30 years ago when we come to the message? It couldn't. It could not have happened on the right now. It could not have happened, Brother Jim, to right now. We are that close. I'm sure you heard today. Another 7.5 earthquake in the Solomon Islands. Children, she's shaking. She's rocking. She's getting ready. Oh, my. If the earth is getting ready, what about the church of the living God? Signs of the times are everywhere. It's all pointing to that cycle. Get ready, children. Lord have mercy. So the capstone, the very capstone of rebellion, is the son of perdition. And it's moving up through this body move of religious people. That man of sin. Of course, there's a lot of difference between the man of sin and the son of man. Because we're feeding on the unfailing body word of the son of man. They're getting ready under the administration of the man of sin. Now, the man of sin is preceded or forerun by the great apostasy. Now, notice how Pauline, he didn't say, now watch the sun. Now look at the stars and the moon. Well, that's part of it. We know that's part of the end time. But when it comes to this, you go from the apostasy straight to the man of sin, the son of perdition. Why? He's paralleling his move like God to the T. When the full word comes back by Malachi 4 and restores a bride to that original word, what does it produce? The son of man in flesh. And the apostasy away from that restored message will usher in the coming of the son of perdition. Lord have mercy. Lord Jesus.
Oh God, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except for coming or falling away first. And that man of sin, notice what Paul gives him two titles here. The man of sin be revealed. Be revealed. Be revealed. So in other words, it's something that could be here and you wouldn't know it until it's revealed. Do you understand? He's on the earth tonight. No doubt he's on the earth tonight, living, breathing. He may be in the Holy See tonight. He may be, who knows, if it ain't the one there, there'll be another one come. Who knows where he is, but he's here. We're that close, he's here. But he's got to be revealed. Notice, it is during the time that God has revealed his word that Paul is using the same word, revealed. Revealed. Now it cannot be revealed until the falling away comes first. And he said, then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now using this term is certainly not without a significance, because it was only used twice in the Bible. The first time it was used by the Lord Jesus in describing Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. St. John 17:12. So it's describing Judas and now describing the Antichrist. So if Judas was the son of perdition, now did this mean that the devil had an act with some woman and it produced the son of perdition? No, it was not that, because he cannot do that in that sense. But he was the incarnation, or the work of incarnation in a human being, in so much that it could be classified as Satan's son. Now watch, in St. John 6:70, we read that Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. In no other passage, though, is the word devil applied to a human being. It is the word diabolos. The definite article is employed, which should read, one of you is the devil. Not one of you is of, or one of you, the devil's around somewhere, but one of you among us is the devil. Oh Lord Jesus. As I've told you before, who knew better to where that Jesus was than one that sat among them? Who knows better what we believe than those who've said among us? Who knows better? Oh, come on, don't get quiet on me. All that sort of thing than those who've said among us. It won't be the Catholic Church that'll betray us. It won't be the Baptist that'll betray us. Come on, children, don't get quiet. They don't know who you are anyhow. So one of you is the devil. Oh my goodness, one of you is the devil. So this would make Judas the devil incarnate. So Satan did not father his body, but by yielding his body as the serpent did in the beginning, then he now becomes the incarnation of the lie. Watch, so Judas becomes the mystery of iniquity. Jesus calls him in St. John 17:12, the son of perdition. Now, diabolos is applied only, of course, to Satan. Never applied to a human being, except here and in the Antichrist. So Jesus would say, one of you is not of, because he told the Jews, you're of your father, the devil. But here he tells and says, one of you is actually the devil. So here's the devil sitting writing the message. The devil preaching the message. The devil got baptized. The devil actually entered into sanctification. Remember, the prophet tells us that the devil got baptized when Jesus baptized Judas. The devil got baptized. You imagine the devil, but the devil could never get the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, sir. But he becomes what? Then the Bible says whenever Judas did this, Satan entered into him. Lord have mercy.
mercy, children. Is that what's going on around us? That demons are entering into people's bodies and making them to women. They look at you. They look at you with murder in their eyes, with hate, destruction. I'll destroy him if it's the last thing I do. If you feel that way about anybody tonight, get that thing off of you.
Now watch, Christ was first in mystery form before he was revealed. Right? Now he was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Of course, Christ was that Logos, that part of that pillar of fire. But he was in mystery form before he was revealed. Now here Paul takes the same parallel and he talks about the son of perdition, the mystery of iniquity, he calls it. And then he says he will not be revealed until this defection of falling away from the truth, the faith. And whenever he comes, then Satan will come and reveal himself in the form of what? The mystery of iniquity. So Jesus was the mystery of godliness revealed. So the Antichrist will be the mystery of iniquity revealed, as he was foreshadowed by Antioch Epiphanes. Now, we know that perdition is a place, according to Revelation 17:8, also Revelation 17:11. It is a place, but perdition is also a condition. 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 9, Hebrews 10:39. So while it is a place, it is also a condition. So people can actually enter into a state of what hell already is. So they enter into a condition, and here they are living. Remember when the prophet saw it, whenever he was in JCPenney's store, he said, there I was back in hell again. So they've already entered into the state of perdition, though the perdition has not totally been fully recognized today. Now, they're not just merely obsessed or possessed of the devil, but many of them are actually becoming demons incarnate. As I said, watch the change in their personality. Now, as Judas and the Antichrist are lost because they are the incarnate, of course, work of the devil, so the sons of perdition that cross the line between mercy and judgment enter into this condition to where while they are still alive, they are already dead in their souls. Watch this. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except the coming falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So I wonder what all would be called God. What a peculiar way to say that. Above all that is called God. So we're not just talking about one person there. So he exalts himself above all that is called God. So the word is called God. The person is called God. What about the body? Come on. Amen. Now what? Barnes says this, who opposeth, that is, he distinguished to be an opposer of the great system which God has revealed for human salvation. And of those who serve God in purity in the gospel of his son. No Protestant will doubt that this has been the character of the papacy. The opposition of the general system to the gospel. The persecution of Wycliffe, of John Huss, of Jerome of Prague, of the Waldenses, of reformers, the Inquisition, the cruelties in the reign of Mary, and the massacre of St. Bartholomew in France are obvious illustrations of this. Of course, this is not something we'll hear too many preachers reading this day and time. Why? We want to scoop it under the rug. Oh, but Brother Donnie, they've repented. And when did they repent? You tell me when they repented of the Inquisition. You tell me when they repented of killing 68 men. You tell me when they repented. My, the Pope apologized this week for all the homosexual stuff and all the lives that them bunch of pedophiles have ruined. And now they stand up and the world just swoons. Oh, the Holy Father, he apologized. So, they owe more than an apology. How many lives have they ruined? How many lives have them bunch of perverts ruined? Come on, children. It shows the mindset of the world. My, he can sneeze. Holy kerchoo, baloney. His kerchoos ain't no more holy than mine are. He blows out spit and snot like all the rest of us do. He ain't no holy father. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Oh, my. He exalteth himself above all that is called God. Barnes goes on to say that is whether among the heathen or the Jews, above a false God or a true God. This could be only one who set aside the divine laws, who undertook to legislate where God only has a right to legislate, whose legislation was contrary to that of God. No one can reasonably doubt that that is all affirmed and may be found in the claims of the Pope of Rome. Glory to God. Brother Donnie, be careful. Be careful. I ain't being careful. I'm following the Lord. I can't be no more careful. Let me read you a few things of history. Gregory the Seventh made Henry the Fourth. Now Gregory the Seventh was a pope. Made Henry the Fourth, which was a king, wait barefooted at his gate. Alexander the Third trod upon the neck, which was a pope, trod upon the neck of Alexander I, which was a king. Thus, Celestine, a pope, kicked off the imperial crown of Henry the Sixth, a pope kicking off the crown of a king. Thus, the right was claimed and asserted of laying nations under interdict or deposing of kings, absolving their subjects from their oaths of allegiance. And thus, the pope claimed the right over all unknown lands that might be discovered by Columbus. What was the name of one of his ships when Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492? Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria? Is that a Protestant name? Is that an apostolic name? So before he ever found America, the Pope said, whatever you find belongs to us. And out of this nation that the Pope claimed, God sent Elijah. You think we're the only ones that believe this? No. Jump on down, Brother Daniel, if you can, a little bit under the heading, sitteth in the temple of God. He will reign a time. Notice who says this, Irenaeus. He will reign a time, times and half a time. That is 3.5 years, and will sit in the temple of Jerusalem. Then the Lord shall come from heaven and cast him into the lake of fire and bring to the saints the times of their reigning, the seventh day of hallowed rest, and give to Abraham the promised inheritance. Notice this is Irenaeus' book entitled Against Heresies. Of course, he was politically correct. He was lined up politically with the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. On over a little bit, Brother Daniel, if you look there, maybe on down past 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Listen to these following expressions applied to the Pope of Rome by Catholic writers without any rebuke from the papacy. And will show entirely applicable to this pretended head of the church how he has been styled. Our Lord God, the Pope. Another God upon earth. King of kings and Lord of lords. The same as the dominion of God and the Pope. Speaking of heaven, hell, and purgatory. To believe that our Lord God, the Pope, might decree as he decreed is heresy. The power of the Pope is greater than all created power and extends itself to things celestial, terrestrial, and infernal. That sounds like a nincompoop to me. Listen to this. The Pope doeth whatsoever he listeth. That's what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. and about the wind. And these people leaving the message want to spend their time studying on 500 and 503. Are you people insane? Are you defectors? Have you lost your mind? Here we have a system that has killed millions and will kill millions more. And you want to waste your time trying to find fault. God have mercy. Hide me, Rock of Ages. The Pope doeth whatsoever he listeth, even all things unlawful, and is more than God. But of course, we're not supposed to say that, are we? We're supposed to just hug everybody. Not me. Ain't no telling what you'd get by hugging everybody in this day. You might get the cooties, you might get AIDS, you might get, Lord have mercy, there ain't no telling what you get, even in the message anymore. I'm about to place, I don't only sanctify my bread, I sanctify my hugs and handshakes. Lord, children, ain't no telling who's among us. The little horn, he will raise. We'll get into it, Lord willing, in the morning. Let's close. One verse of scripture where Paul mentions him. He says he'll raise himself. He'll do this and that and the other. And in the very next line, he gives his demise. When he's the closest to his power is when he's the closest to his foe. All of this that he's went through, and the devil gets 3.5 years. And while that's going on, we'll be up there in heaven wiping tears, eating the marriage supper of the Lamb, sitting down with the King, rejoicing with one another, reaching across the table. Oh, glory to God. While the world's under the influence of that little horn, we'll be there in the great personage of God. Don't you want to be ready? Let's stand together. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Did it make sense to you? I hope I made sense to you. Good. Good. Praise God. Heavenly Father, how perfect your word is. No doubt people have read this book of Daniel, and people of scoffers and critics have looked at it and made fun of it because they couldn't figure it out and understand it. Much of prophecy is that way. It's the same with the message of this day. We know, unlike Daniel, Brother Branham was a preaching prophet. So he wasn't going around saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, I saw this vision, thus saith the Lord, I saw this, I saw this. But he was a preaching prophet. Moses was not. Ezekiel was not a preaching prophet. Jeremiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They were not preaching prophets. They did not have the evangelistic ministry and grow in the ministry. For the first time since the beginning of you started dealing with people, we've saw the growth of a man. We've seen how he changed. Amen. Grew in his understanding. Grew in maturity. You know to give him the third pull last. Because you know the first and the second pull is still learning. When he was fishing and got the line all tangled up, and the angel told him, I told you not to do that. We don't see that out of Paul. We don't see that out of Ezekiel or Jeremiah. But we see it out of our prophet. And we're so glad he was man enough to tell us about it. Why was that necessary? No doubt the growth pattern was necessary for us to help us to see. You don't hate us in our mistakes, and you don't throw us away. Lord Jesus, we love you. We so appreciate you so much, Father. We do not hate Catholics. We do not hate Protestants, Jews. We don't hate anybody. We do hate that system that binds them. That little horn power that's coming to destroy. I hate that thing, Lord.
I wish I could destroy it, but it's not in my power. But we know the restrainer is here on the earth. And he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And we believe we're living under the power of the influence of the restrainer. Satan cannot come to his position until the restrainer culminates the work in the body and pulls the body home. Help us, Lord Jesus. There may be 1,000, there may be 10,000, there may be one. We don't know, and it's not our place to. I pray, God, you'd bring them in, Lord. Dear God, Brother Darrell leaving next week, going over to Tanzania. Maybe it'll be a black one over there, Lord. Brother Barry going a week or so after he's there. Different brothers, Brother David going to Mexico. Brothers going to the Philippines here and there and there. It might be one sitting here in our church. We don't know. But Lord, bring them in. Bring them in, Lord Jesus, so we can go home. Lord, I hate this old sin sick place. It's awful, Lord. We want to be ready. We want to be ready to leave, Father. We're not sure what we'll go through. We're not sure exactly what we will see. I know we're not going through no tribulation period. But I know we'll suffer. Already we have suffered. We've suffered being Christians, suffered being message people, and suffered being identified with you, the Word. We don't know to what degree it will go, but we know you'll help us. I pray, Father, we can be ready. Make us strong. Make us courageous. As I said, Lord, it'll not just be the message people that'll stand against this Catholicism. But those that come through the tribulation period, the Gentiles, they must also stand against it or take the mark of the beast. That's why if the people will look online, they'll find all kinds of sites. They'll find all kinds of books, all kinds of things that's declaring it and saying it. They must also be a voice against it. But it will grow fewer and fewer as the days go by. Even in our message, there'll be some that'll embrace it, no doubt. But help us, Lord, not to be hateful, not to be mean, but to be separate. Lord, my wife, she's been mine for 41 years now, in a couple of months. I wouldn't want her going out after church and hugging every man in the vestibule. I wouldn't want her going out and kissing every man out there. She was consecrated to me almost 41 years ago. Neither would she want me going out there, her husband, putting my hands all over the women, flirting with them, winking at them, doing all kinds of things that would be vulgar and ungodly. I consecrated myself to her. Lord Jesus, if we would do that and expect that of each other, how much more do you expect out of your bride? And if we claim we're the church, the bride, how can we be out here flirting with the world and acting like the world and dressing like them and talking like them and doing just like they do and claiming we're consecrated to you? There's something wrong somewhere, Lord. Help us, I pray, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. How many of you wants to be consecrated to the Lord Jesus? In your walk, in your talk, in the way you live, and what you do, music you listen to, any movies that you watch, any books that you read, any entertainment that you have in your home, your life, hobbies that you have. Every aspect of your life. Can't you see things? Friends, how these things are precursors of what's coming. It's being released, this ecumenical thing, it's being released. Don't you tell me that you've not felt it in your life. Don't you tell me you've not sat here in this church and felt that thing as I've preached or other men have preached and you've had it whispered to you. Why does he have to preach that? Why does he have to do that? Do you understand who's talking to you? It's that ecumenical demon that's moving on the Catholics and the Protestants and the Jews. That same thing whispering to message people. We don't need that no more. We need it now more than ever before. It's evident these quotes will not keep them away. It's evident the profound ministry of Brother Branham has not kept it away. Come on. It must be the preaching of that word constantly hammering right there and keeping that gospel before. And the saints taking applying it to their lives and say, yes, Lord, make me one with that word, God. Keep me clean. Keep me separate, Lord. Keep me clean from the filth of the world. Amen. How many wants to be sanctified to Him? Let's just raise our hands. Praise God. We've got these meetings come up next week. Let's just make a consecration anew. Oh, you don't need to be saved. Many of you don't need the Holy Ghost. You've got it. But we can rededicate our lives. Rededicate our motives, our purpose, our objectives. Hallelujah. Not to be one with the world. Not to be one with apostates. But one with the Word. Lord Jesus, we worship You, dear God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God. The power of the little horn is raising, Lord. But there's another power, and it's not the little horn. Glory to God. It's the power of the resurrection in the body. Through four death moves, He's killed it. Through four life moves, You've brought it back. Thank You, Lord God. As justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost Himself. The person, the token to move. And the token could not come into existence until the evening time. Oh, thank You, Lord. We're living in the evening time. Thank You, Lord, that we have more than just a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I had that for years when I was in Pentecost. Received it as a little boy. Yet, Lord, I could believe in Trinitarianism. I could believe in all kinds of things that was contrary to Your Bible. I needed to move over into the token life, Lord. Thank You, dear God. I didn't just accept some new doctrines and accepted this message, but it brought to me a new experience, Lord. It moved the baptism of the Holy Ghost over into my soul. That's so many folks have missed it, God. They've laid aside their Baptist theology and took message theology. They laid aside Methodist theology and took message theology, but they never had an experience that inside their soul. But thank You, Lord, the bride didn't just swap books. The bride didn't just swap tapes from one preacher to another. But she got something down inside of her soul that sealed her to the day of her redemption, Lord God. And it's building the statue of a perfect man on the inside, Lord. Getting us ready for that great day. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We don't know what we'll face. We don't know what we'll see. Lord God, we know You'll make us ready. You'll make us to be anointed for that hour and that time, Lord. Help us to stand, I pray, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. And I don't wanna get adjusted to this world. Oh, I don't wanna get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later, and I don't wanna get adjusted. Let's sing it again. I don't wanna get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later.
Sooner or later, I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. Sooner or later, I don't want to get adjusted. Better sooner. this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I wanna go there sooner or later. I wanna get adjusted to this world.
Oh,
I don't wanna get adjusted to this world.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Joel, come sing a song you're singing about a theophany before we go. How many believes you got one waiting on you? Praise be to God. You love Him, saints, with all your heart. Appreciate His word. Look, we're all coming to that headship, to the headship of Christ the Word, or the headship of that little horn. Let me be the under dominion of Him. Praise God.
One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know the final step, it's going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling. It's a call to come up a little higher into the perfect world.
Hello.
Come up a little higher to agape love. Come up a little higher, soar through the heavenlies. My theophany, I hear it. Don't you worry, little children, should death not come my door. You know death is but a doorway that leads to the heavenly shore. Over there is no heartache, no sorrow, grief, nor pain. Just perfect love, peace and joy beyond. Step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know the final step is going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it call. And I see victory around the next curve in the road. That old devil's got to flee. God's army is marching onward to slay that old enemy. Around the next curve, I see Jesus coming for me. Take a step toward my theophany. One day set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me. One day I'm going to take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take that final step into my theophany. One day I know that final step, it is going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me. It's a call to come up a little higher into the perfect word. Oh, come up a little higher. No thoughts of looking back to agape love. Oh, come up a little higher. Soar through the heavenlies. My theophany, I hear it calling me. Well, don't you worry, little children, should death knock on your door. Oh, you know death is but a doorway that leads to that heavenly shore. Over there is no heartache, no sorrow, grief, no pain, just perfect love, peace and joy beyond compare. One day I'm gonna take a step to my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. Oh, one day, that final step, it's going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me.
Glory! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord.
Let's sing just a little bit more. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart. It's a minor or something.
F minor, G minor.
It's not G minor, but
when the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will pray like Daniel prayed. And I will pray. Like tears. hearts like David did. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will love like Jesus loved. In that theophany, can come get me. Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will love like Jesus loved. I will love, I will love, I'm gonna love like Jesus loved. I will love, perfect love, I'm gonna love like Jesus loved. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will leave like he not led. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will be like he not led. I will leave, I will leave, I'm gonna leave like he not led. I will leave,
dismissed this evening. It's been great to be in church tonight, hasn't it not? Let's remember the service in the morning. Let's just play that for some more, brothers, as everybody just goes in the fear of the Lord tonight.